Parthaya Pratipojitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Kratitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaita Amrita Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashadashadhyayinim Ambatvam Anusantatami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshini. Okay, we're on verse 28, chapter 9, verse 28. Shubha Shubha Palai Revam Shubha Shubha Palai Revam Mokshase Karma Bandhanaihi Mokshase Karma Bandhanaihi Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma Vimukto Mam Upaishyasi Vimukto Mam Upaishyasi Shubha Ashubha palaihi evam mokshase karma bandhanaihi sanyasa yoga yukta atma vimuktaha mam upaishasi. In the last two verses especially, he's been talking, Krishna's been talking about this, the karma yoga buddhi, right? Karma yoga, that means performing action, doing actions with an attitude of surrender to Ishvara. In other words, I do an action, it's not that I don't know, that I don't know the result of the action. I'm not doing an action without having any concept of the result. But the purpose for me behind the action is really antakarana shuddhi. In other words, in this life, what becomes for mumukshu, for one who desires liberation, what becomes really primary in terms of...
Oh.
Yeah, Tibet.
What happened?
Tibet has a mouse.
Tibet caught something.
Tibet's caught something. Okay.
Well, that's okay.
Okay, no. For a mamukshu, one who desires liberation, what is important in the way that one lives one's life is basically this. Your life, moment to moment to moment, is unfolding before you. You can't stop that. Right? You can't just decide that the life is going to stop unfolding or going to change the way it is. It has a natural flow. There are many karma palas. There are many results of actions, infinite, in fact, you know, manifesting from all different directions that give you this moment. This moment is just not coming from you. This moment is very complex. It's coming from kind of a beginningless cause-effect sequence that's coming from infinite directions. That cause-effect sequence coming from infinite directions produces the moment, and you're part of that. You're included in that complexity. And so now, how to be in this complexity? What should my attitude be? So for one who has kind of realized the limitations of this creation in the sense that the creation itself, all of the experiences that are available to us in this creation are incapable by their very nature of solving the problem of my wholeness. It can give us momentary relief, but it never solves the problem, you know. And so a mumukshu is somebody actually who's actually recognized that. If that has been recognized, then the idea, the embracing of this karma yoga attitude is meaningful, because I no longer believe that the universe can actually solve the problem of my well-being. I would like to recognize myself as a whole being who is living in this world at this particular time, experiencing all of the pleasures and pains that the world is going to give me, but experiencing it from the standpoint of a wholeness that can't be invalidated or stained or changed. So out of a wholeness, out of a secure wholeness, a secure well-being, I experience the world of continual change and the world of continual sukha and dukkha. Pleasurable circumstances, dukkha, sorrowful circumstances. That's just the nature of it. But can I experience this world from a position of wholeness, or am I going to spend my life depending upon the world to give me that wholeness? Mumukshu, one who desires liberation, has realized that that doesn't work. And it's not that it doesn't work because I'm defective and can't figure out how to make it work. It doesn't work because the very nature of the creation won't allow it to work, because the constant nature of change. And so then, once I really get that, this understanding of the karma yoga and that Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, where I look at everything as really that I do as I do for the sake of Ishvara, for the sake of the Lord. That's the karma yoga buddhi. And so what does that actually mean, you know, in terms of, I mean, how do we operationalize that? How do we actually do it? If we look at this every moment being something that's given to us from an infinite complexity, you know, infinite complexity of cause and effect, karma pullas that give us this particular situation, then how to be in this situation? Well, the way that we view it is, do I be in this situation? I view the situation really as Ishvara. I view the whole situation as Ishvara. And I do what is dharmic in the situation. Even if we don't understand the Ishvara part, if I I do what is dharmic in the situation. What is dharmic is what is primary for me. Because what is dharmic, proper action in the situation, is what will give me the antakarna shuddhi, in the purity of mind or the peace of mind that I'm actually seeking, and what is necessary for me to really gain knowledge. And it's hard to gain even self-knowledge when my mind is out here trying to do this and trying to get that and agitated because so-and-so is not helping me get this and so-and-so is not behaving well enough for me to be peaceful in this type of situation. It goes on and on and on. It's very, very complicated. My emotions get pulled all over the place as I try to make the universe respond to me in a way that I think would make me happy. It's complex. It doesn't work. Sooner or later, you realize it doesn't work. And then you realize, oh my gosh, it really doesn't work. And then you realize again, it doesn't work at all. Layers upon layers upon layers of realizing that it doesn't work. And as you realize that, it becomes much easier for you and much more advantageous. Your mind will think of it in terms of something that's much more advantageous to let me do what is dharma in this situation. Because if I do what is dharma, what is being asked of me in the situation, it's all based on the golden rule, really. You know, that's the very simple ahimsa. Just to really understand dharma, ahimsa, non-injury. Non-injury, all of these things are complicated because something that you might think is not injurious from another standpoint can be injurious. But we'll just keep it simple. Non-injury. What's under that? Because that's ahimsa, just one word. Ahimsa. What's under that? Golden rule. You know, that's the basic sadharana dharma of all religions of all over the world. You know, they all have this. Do unto others as you would want done to yourself. And in Hinduism we say, and don't do to others what you wouldn't want done to you. You become a real barometer, you know. And you can even have that buddhi, have that commitment toward even plants and animals. You know? Maybe that's why Swamiji goes on and on about vegetarianism. Would you yourself like to be eaten? would you say if we had, you know, in this creation, say we were one of the animals, you know, we were the human animal, and then there was the monster animal. It's like, like 20, 25, 30 feet high, you know, and we are the little humans scattering about. What would we? How would we want them to treat us?
Kindly.
We would want them to love us, to like us, and to respect us. You know? It's very simple, really. We would. We would like that. And the little animals like us to love them, to like them, to respect them. The plants like the same thing. The inner child, the parts inside that are having trouble, the complexes inside, they want us to love them, to like them, and to respect them. These three things, everybody wants it, really. You know, it's not enough just to be loved. I love you, but you're such an idiot. I love you, but you're just always getting in trouble. You're the most irritating person in the world. You're my child. I love you. Of course I love you. But you absolutely drive me crazy. You know? Why can't you get it together? That love, it's good to still have, still, that love is still healing, believe it or not. At least you know your parents love you even though they're irritated with you. And you know, that love has something. It's not totally devoid of something. But if that like is there, then there's a pleasure. You know, there's a pleasure. You're happy to see the person, you know. You take delight in them. But they could still be viewed as, I love him. He's such a cute little moron. That's not enough either. There's a respect for the being, you know. And that brings all of these things, if you put these things together, the self-esteem, the self-worth, the wholeness, all on a relative level, all of these things come into being, you know. And so this is, if you want to understand Dharma, really, ahimsa, and this doing to others, and then think of it in terms of this attitude which everything and everyone opens up and flowers in the presence of that attitude, inside and outside. So that being so, if we look at inside versus outside, you've probably experienced that helping one helps the other. If you give love to the outside, it helps the inside. If you give love to the inside, it helps the outside. It's not just one way. You know, it kind of reminds me of with pranayama. You know how pranayama and the mind are very connected. They're very much in relationship to one another. And so, if your mind is very upset, your breathing will be jagged. Right? If your mind becomes calm, your breath will become calm. But it also works this way. If your mind is very upset and you use your breath, you calm your breath. I hear your mind's going crazy and it's so upset and so hurt and so angry. And you use your control, your breath, through some pranayama, through some even breathing, the mind will settle down. You know? And so we can use that relationship, you know, the one helps the other. And it's the same. Same here. If something outside is hurting you or upsetting you, or someone is upset or hurt, or there's an upsetting relationship, if you reach out with that, it helps you. On the other hand, if there's something inside that is really hurting you, if you go inside and help that with that type of respect and love and care, then that will affect the outside. So I'm saying, inside, outside, you know, both need the same attitude, the inside and the outside. If you're unable to give it to the outside, to the inside, give it to the outside, that will help the inside. If you're unable to give it to the outside, then give it to the inside, and that will help the outside. It's amazing that way. It's an amazing thing. It's a trick. You know, they're little tools. The things to really understand how the mind works. And if we're not able to do that, then the mind can get very, very upset. You know? And so here, to get back to this. What Bhagavan is talking about here is in this karma yoga buddhi, right, this attitude of karma yoga, is for the mumukshu, for the one who's being taught, you know, who's gaining this knowledge, who has a desire for liberation. First thing is the recognition that trying to make the world be a certain way so that you can be happy simply does not work, and you realize that throughout your life, time and again. There's basically no exceptions to it. It is true that you can have moments of joy from the creation, but the creation itself is not going to be able to give you any sustained joy. On the other hand, even within the relative creation, once you move inward toward an attitude of dharma, where now it's not, now just in this attitude, it's not now about getting this or getting that. It's about being in the world in a way, being in the world internally and externally in a dharmic way. Dharmic way means ahimsa, golden rule, doing what is called upon me in a given situation. That's basically it. Those are in terms of attitude. And then what am I, as I'm doing that, how am I holding all of this? As Ishwara. That's the Ishwara Arpana Buddhi. One thing important to understand about Ishwara, about Bhagavan, the Lord, the one who is really this whole infinite creation, my being expressed in the form of this whole creation, to really understand what is Ishwara, how do I view Ishwara? Think of it as dharma. Think of Ishwara as dharma. Because dharma, all of the laws, you know, and the harmony, it's the heart. Dharma is the harmony or the laws that are holding this universe together. So the universe itself, from the standpoint of dharma is in harmony. And then when we think, well, what is a dharma? Dharma, I think we could look at a dharma as when I'm butting up against that harmony. If I'm butting up against the harmony, or butting up against my parabdha karma, the karmas that caused me to come into this world that are really part of the creation, if I'm butting up against that, it'll just butt me back. Just, you know, if you're going out of line in any way, and your body's like this, if your body is getting ill in any way, it'll go, ooh, ooh. It'll set up a buzzer system. So, you know, pain. It'll give pain so that you realize, oh, something has to be done here. Emotional pain is like that too. Oh, something has to be done here. Something needs some correction. It's a warning signal, you know. Do something, you know. And so we can have a respect also for those warning signals. What do I do? That's why often we say, you know, in your life, anything that causes you hurt or pain or emotional distress, all of these things, you know, that's your sadhana. That's a warning signal. It's like, oh, this, whatever it is, needs my attention, you know. At least it needs my care, it needs my respect, it needs my, you know, it needs me to come to its aid, you know. We can easily understand that in reference to your physical body. There's something wrong with your physical body, it cries out in pain, and what do? You go to its aid. You do whatever it takes, you know, to heal that. We know to do that. But in terms of the emotional self, we don't have the same sophistication. We know that when that physical or when that emotional pain is there, we want to get out of it. We want to scramble out of it. But we don't necessarily know how. And so with this karma yoga buddhi, it's a real tool for understanding how, you know, how to get out. But you have to do it in the light of this vision. You have to understand that the source of, in karma yoga, if you really understand it, you have to understand that the source of your ananda, the source of the ananda, or the fullness that you're seeking, really is the self. That is the source, the only source. And what allows the mind to feel at peace or to feel whole is when it has a certain degree of shanti. This isn't even knowledge. Even for an ajnani, for somebody who has no self-knowledge, what allows you to feel peacefulness and wholeness from the standpoint of the mind? is only shanti, is only peace. What really gives peace of mind on a relative level is dharma. What doesn't give peace of mind? Trying to fulfill a desire. The trying to fulfill a desire from the start to the finish is fraught with stress. And so what we want is to be able to have to fulfill these desires or things that are meant to be done, but with that particular karma yoga buddhi. Mm-hmm. And so what Bhagavan is saying here is he says, if you can have this karma yoga attitude that he's been discussing now in these previous verses, he says, then what moksha say, you will be freed. You will be liberated from what? From karma bandhanahi, from the bonds of karma. Bandhana means bondage. The karmas themselves are a bondage. Means the karma pull, the results of your karma. They themselves are a bondage. They are shubha, ashubha, palahi. The karmas themselves have both shubha, means sukha, positive results, and negative results. There's no such thing in the world, you know, of a jiva coming into the world with only shubha karmas. You know, positive karmas means you've taken this birth, all of the karmas are positive, every experience you'll have will be happy. There's no such thing. Every human being comes into the world with sukha and dukkha. They say that the karma that brings you into this body, that, you know, when you take this body, is 50-50. 50% sukha, 50% dukkha. 50% means meant to make you happy, pleasurable events. 50% events that are really designed to cause you pain. They're designed to cause you pleasure. They're designed to cause you pain. If you've ever kind of reflect back on your life, you'll see that some events have come, you know, that are just unbelievable that Bhagavan would do this to you. In other words, and I'm talking in a negative way, that Bhagavan would create this situation which cannot but cause you pain. If you're engaged in it, it cannot but cause you pain. It is meant to cause you pain. That's what it is. You know? And there it is. It's like a nightmare come true. Then you have other situations that are great gifts, you know, meant to cause you pleasure. If you look back on your life, you can see them, you know, at least I can. You can see that this is incredible, that this, in terms of, you know, what we call papa karmas, it's incredible that this would actually conspire in such a way, you know, as to give me exactly what I dreaded. The universe would conspire to give me exactly what I dreaded, exactly what I did not want to happen. You know? So we all have our little list of those things. You know? It's a very interesting. So what Bhagavan is saying here, you'll be liberated from these karmas. You know, the karmas that are, he's actually talking in this verse, the karmas that have caused you to take this birth and will be with you all through in terms of the karma bandhana, sukha and dukkha. That's why he says shubha, ashubha, pala. Pala means the results of an action. So these karmas themselves are a bondage. And they are karmas which are have the result of positive and negative, 50-50. So you'll be liberated, you can be liberated from them, evam, in this manner. And then he says, vimuktaha, bina sannyasa yoga yukta atma, being one whose mind, right, has, yukta means has, is united with yukta atma, your atma is mine. One whose atma, one whose mind. Atma can be mind, it can be body, it can be the atma, it can be the paramatma, it can be the self. It just depends on the context. So often atma is used as mind. So your mind is united with yoga, means that karma yoga buddhi, which allows for the sannyasa. Sannyasa means, here, if I in terms of my life and the actions that are being are there for me to do, I'm following Dharma. And what is the most important to me is that Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, that it is Ishvara that is paramount for me or the most important to me. Another way of saying that is that the self-knowledge, knowing the Lord, knowing Ishvara, knowing that I am the whole, is what is paramount for me, right? Then I do this, I do my actions with that goal in mind. And that allows me to have what we call a sannyasa buddhi toward the immediate results of the action. Sannyasa buddhi means, sannyasa means renunciation, buddhi means that commitment, that relationship, that commitment to sannyasa in reference to the results of my actions, the physical results of the actions. How does that look? Is that if I do a result, I do an action in order to gain a particular result, and I gain the result, that is fine. I take that gain as prasad from the Lord. I did this action in order to gain this result. I gained the result. And gaining the result, I pranam to Bhagawan and thank Bhagawan. Thank the Lord for giving me that result. But what about when I do an action and I don't get the result for which I had done the action? Then again, I receive that as prasad from the Lord. Both are prasad. You know, for those, many of you know this, many of you know this story. Let me talk again. You know, Swamiji often tell this is, when you go to a temple in India and they can do a very elaborate puja, do elaborate rituals, and they're offering all types of different foods and flowers and ghee and all kinds of things to the Lord. And then after the puja is finished, and so all of the devotees are there watching the puja take place, when the puja is finished, they will give prasad to all of the devotees that participated in that puja. So the pujari, the priest, will give that prasad. And sometimes the prasad is, like if you take like one of these on banana leaf, is filled with, it's a whole meal. You know, it's a whole Indian meal, and they give it a whole, give you a whole plate of this as prasad. You know, and the devotee will take the prasad as being given from the Lord. All of that food and everything had been offered in the puja to the Lord, and now the Lord gives it back to you. Right? And so you receive that as prasad, you know. Sometimes, instead of being a whole meal, it can be some laddu. Laddu are different types as a sweet. It's very much desired in India. So the prasad will be a sweet. It's given, and then they take the prasad with all gratitude and receive it as being given directly from Bhagawan, from the Lord. Now, sometimes what's being given are just little, they will take flowers and break the flowers up into just the leaves and offer the petals to the Lord. And so sometimes in a temple, that's what the prasad will be. They'll give you just a few little petals. And then that will be taken as prasad from the Lord. And those petals will be, you know, put behind your ear, and women will put the petals in their hair. And they won't ever be thrown. They'll always be held and put somewhere, put on your altar, or, you know, kept as sacred. Sometimes it will be only water. The prasad will be water, and you'll be given a few drops of water, and that will be taken as prasad. You know, and then the water is usually, you know, put on your eyes and rubbed through your hair like that. Sometimes it'll just be ash, vibhuti. It'll just be ash, cow dung, you know, vibhuti. And then that will be taken as prasad from the Lord, and that will usually be taken and put on your head. Sometimes it'll just be chandan. So the prasad can go from anywhere from a full meal to whole coconuts, to laddus, to sweets, to flowers, you know, to water, to vibhuti, to just ash. And all of it is always received as prasad. You wouldn't see somebody saying, I don't want that water. I don't want that water. I want the meal.
You want something better.
I want something that, that attitude isn't there. Right? The attitude isn't there because it's a temple. It's Bhagavan. And this is the prasad from the Lord. That's the example that's really used for the understanding that karma yoga buddhi. You see all of this as Ishwara. And in fact, as your knowledge matures, you see all of this as Ishwara, and your body, mind, sense organs, ahankara, everything also is included in Ishwara. But if initially you see yourself in relationship to Ishwara, and you receive the results of all of your you receive all of the things that are happening in the world in your sphere as being prasad from Bhagavan. Now you can do that, and that is actually something that grows and becomes natural, you know, for a person as they mature in their knowledge and they mature in their experience of the world. You know, you can still, even without this, say, without this karma yoga buddhi, this karma yoga buddhi is really meant for a mumukshu, you know, for a samsari who's held within the Vedic culture or within a religious culture. Your ahankara, the I notion, the ego, is still very active. I want this, I want to go to Swargaloka, I want to go to heaven world, I want to do these rituals so that I can get enough rain to water my crops, and I want Bhagavan to give me lots of children and long life and good health, and on and on. And we pray for all of these type of things. We still have a relationship with Ishwara, you know? It's just that we're wanting Ishwara to help us get what we want. But a mumukshu or a karma yogi is somebody who doesn't want Ishwara to help me get all of these things, because I've realized that the accrual of all of these things, or getting rid of some things and getting some other things, is not really going to solve the problem. And so now what I want as a mumukshu, I want knowledge. I want Bhagavan himself. I want the ananda, I want the wholeness, I want the fullness itself. I want to know Ishwara. I want to know myself. I don't want all these things. That's why, you know, in the Katha Upanishad, Nachiketas, one young boy, went up to Lord Yama. There's some circumstances brought him up to Lord Yama. And Yama gave him three boons. You know, because he wasn't there when Nachiketas got up to heaven to see Lord Yama. Yama was out doing something, and that was very rude. since Nachiketas was a brahmana. And so he had these, you know, he gave him to make up for his bad behavior.
His neglectful
behavior. He said, I'll give you three boons. So one boon, Nachiketas wanted his father to be happy with him, because he had been sent up to see Lord Yama, Lord Death, because his father was angry with him. He said, you go to Lord Yama. And so he did. His father was probably very hurt by that. And so his first boon was, please make my father all right. Let him see me again. Second boon was, please give me the rituals for Swarga to make them get to Swargaloka. You know. So he did that. But the third boon was, please give me self-knowledge. That which is beyond, you know, beyond all the opposites, beyond death. Give me that. And then Yama said, no, you don't need that. Ask me for heaven worlds, or for all of the joys that the devatas have. And on and on and on. Don't you want this? And wouldn't it be nice to have this? I'll give you long life. I'll give you lots of wealth, good family, everything that you could ever want. And then on all of the joys and all of the women and all the musical instruments, everything that you can imagine, goes on and on and on. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't you like to have that? No, I don't want those things. They don't give me anything lasting. They just burn out your sense organs. It doesn't work. This is what I want. So after going back and forth like this, he realized, Lord Yama realized, okay, Nachiketas is really a mumukshu. He is really understood. He's understood the problem. And so he taught him this whole Katha Upanishad. Is Yama Lord Yama teaching Nachiketas this knowledge? Because Nachiketas had recognized that the ananda that we seek is not something that can be gained here. And so he was an adhikari, mumukshu, someone who is to be taught. So for such a person, this karma yoga buddhi, this Ishwara Arpana buddhi, all of these things are absolutely, they're just a tool. Because they don't go against in any way what you already know. They just support what you already know, that the ananda is not something that you're going to gain out here. So then how to be with this in a way that is, how to be with this world, how to exist in this world in a way that is conducive to my, that is true to the way the world is, to the way Ishwara is, and is conducive to my gaining nishta, becoming rooted in my self-knowledge. So that's what it is. So he says, if you understand this karma yoga buddhi in this way, then you will be released from the bondage of sukha and dukkha, of all of these karma phalas. And he says, you'll be vimuktaha, somebody who's freed from all of that. And then mam upaishasi, you will come to me. Now, what he means is, you will come to me, is that for the samsari, the one who still says, my wholeness is to be attained out here, the samsari is always going in this direction, always going out here. And so that means, I need this to be happy, I want this to be happy, I want this to be happy, I want this to be happy, that kartritvam, that doership, the ahankara, the jiva, is very much kept intact. And so birth after birth after birth after birth after birth, if something goes on from beginningless time, you know, and I'm kept as a jiva, taking birth after birth, and every birth I take is going to give me a life that is comprised of karmas, which manifest as punya and papa. They manifest as positive karmas and negative karmas. And so, as a jiva, my life is bound and very much caught up in those karmas. For the person who recognizes me, Ishwara, Krishna talking, for the person who recognizes me, where do they end up? They end up in me as me. The next verse will go more into this. Then I, in fact, in the next verse it'll say, I am their self and they are in me. And so when this ajnanam, when this ignorance is resolved, where do they end up? When the physical body dies, they end up only as me. They end up as me because they already are me. That is, that I am their very nature. And so when the body dies, for those people who have recognized me in this way, they end up as me. They attain me, they come to me. Means they don't take another body. Okay. So, let's stop there. This will go on for him. He's going to explain all of this now with some really nice verses. Okay. I'll stop here. Yeah. Let's just take a minute. Okay. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurupyo Namaha Harihi Om.